Are you open this morning? Are you open in your whole being? Are you opening from the depths of your being? The Lord said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens." We need to be emptied every morning. And at the beginning of every message, I hope you would have a fresh opening to the Lord. We heard a lot of wonderful things last night, and we'll continue to hear wonderful things today, because we're in the gospel of the kingdom. This word, the gospel of the kingdom, is found in the New Testament, this phrase, 6 times. 4 times it refers to the Lord Jesus Himself, that He went to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Matter of fact, in the back of your pamphlet, you might have noticed. How about let's read that verse together? We hope that this verse would not just be describing the Lord Jesus, but would describe all of us. How about that? By the end of this weekend, we would have this declaration. Let's read Luke 4:43a. I must announce the gospel of the kingdom. One more time. I must announce the gospel of the kingdom. This whole weekend, we just have good news to share with you. The word gospel means good news. And we began to share with you the good news last night. The good news begins with the word repent. Amen. Did you ever think that this would be good news? But just consider it a little bit. Say, oh no, when I hear the word repent, it makes me feel bad, or I was a bad person, I need to be better. No. You didn't get the point of repent. Repent is just to turn. To turn. Whether you were a good person or you were a bad person, you need to turn. You need to turn for the kingdom. We may easily classify heavy metal. Oh, yeah. Someone who's in the kingdom of God would never, they wouldn't listen to heavy metal. But we may highly appreciate classical music. But let me tell you, classical music is neither in the kingdom of God. It's not something that's dark or raw or obviously evil, bad lyrics. You say, oh, that's not the kingdom of God. But something refined, cultured, developed, pleasant to the ear, that could also be something that's not the kingdom of God. So in our life, in our living, we may have been doing many things. We may have been pursuing many things. But have we been pursuing the kingdom of God? This weekend, the Lord wants us, first of all, to repent. To turn. Have a turn. Whatever you were in that wasn't the kingdom of God was the kingdom of Satan. There's only 2 kingdoms. Even if it's so good, it sounds so good, you're such a good person, but you could still be living under the authority of darkness. The authority of darkness. The kingdom of Satan. We're either in the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. We're living for the kingdom of Satan, which is the world today, or we're living for the kingdom of God. So the first word the Lord gives us is repent. Young people, this is good news. We have an opportunity to turn. We can turn our life. What is your life goal? What's the goal of your life? You're all getting educated, getting trained, being prepared for something. But what's the goal of your life? We hope that this weekend your goal could be turned to be the goal of the kingdom. Because this is the goal of the gospel. We saw last night is the kingdom of God. So I hope you would receive this word as good news. Good news. The first word is good news. The second word we'll hear today is also good news. But I'd like to share with you a couple verses before we get to the outline. In Matthew 13, if you want to remember a chapter on the kingdom, and you can't remember too many chapters, I would highly encourage you to remember Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is a key chapter on the kingdom. And in this chapter, I'd just like to read a few verses to you. If you have your Bible, feel free to open it. In Matthew 13:11, the Lord was speaking to people, and the disciples asked Him, "Why are you speaking in parables?" He didn't speak in plain words. He spoke in parables. And listen what the Lord answered in verse 11. He answered and said to them, "Because to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens." I'd like to tell you, all you young people here, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What a privilege that we could be here this weekend. And listen, you might say, "Well, why am I so special?" It says later in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes because they see." This weekend, if you would see a little bit of the kingdom, blessed are your eyes. Not to see physical things, but to see something spiritual. Yeah, your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart could be enlightened to see something of the kingdom. If so, blessed are you. And blessed are your ears because they hear. Oh, to hear the word of the kingdom is a great blessing. And listen, in verse 17, the Lord says, "Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to perceive the things that you see and have not perceived them. And to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them." There's many righteous men, many prophets in the Old Testament. They desired to know what was in God's heart. Even Job said this, "I know there's something in your heart. There's something that's hidden." But it wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. But here we are in the New Testament age. Young people, blessed are your eyes that see. Blessed are your ears that hear. So I'd like to give you five words that I hope you would experience related to the kingdom. Number one is to hear. Hear. You need to hear the words of the kingdom. Now notice I didn't say listen to, but hear. In these meetings, we're listening. We're speaking, you're listening, you're speaking, we're listening. But I don't want you to just listen. I want you to hear. I pray that you would hear. Yeah, in the words that are being spoken, there's a speaking of God. There's God speaking. There's words of the kingdom. So I hope, number one, you could hear those words. You could hear. That means that in your heart, in your being, something is being touched. Yeah, there's an impression. There's a, "Wow, I never thought about that. I didn't see that before." There's some rolling away of veils, of concepts. This means that you really hear. Yeah, I hope you all could hear. If you don't hear, then you can't have the second word, which is to see. See. We need to hear the words of the kingdom. That is, let them penetrate us. Then if you hear, you will see. Seeing is based on hearing. Did you know that? In spiritual things. If you don't hear, you can't see anything. So may the Lord open our ears, right? Grant us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking, right? What the Lord is speaking to us this weekend. Then we would see. We would see. Third word, after you see the kingdom, you see it. I hope you're starting to see. Even from last night, I saw more of the kingdom. Then you know what you need to do? You need to enter. Enter. When you see it, you need to enter into it. Don't just see it and say, "Oh, that's nice. It's over there. That would be really nice one day. Maybe I could get into that kingdom." No, get in today. Enter in. We'll show you how to enter in. I believe many of you have, but hopefully freshly this morning, you would enter in. Then the fourth word I would give you. Once you've entered into the kingdom, you know what you should do? Live in the kingdom. Just live here. Just live in this realm of life. Right? We saw last night, this is a delightful realm. A realm of love, life, and light. Wouldn't you just like to live here? Don't just enter, but live here. Stay here. Abide here. How about the rest of your days? You would live in the kingdom. Would you live for the kingdom? Would you choose a job for the kingdom? Would you get married for the kingdom? Have a family for the kingdom? Buy a house for the kingdom? This is what the Lord would really like to have on the earth. Some who would live for the kingdom. Then I give you the fifth word. The fifth word for the kingdom. You know what we should do? Speak. Speak the kingdom. Right? I must announce the gospel of the kingdom. And you know what? When we speak the kingdom, then you know what the Lord has? He has an opportunity for someone to hear the kingdom. And what does that bring us back to? The beginning. Meaning, this should be a cycle in our life. We hear. We see. We enter. We live. And we speak the kingdom. I hope you would be such a person. Right? Then through you, the kingdom would spread. Yeah. The kingdom's not just for us in this room. The Lord wants to spread the kingdom. How can that happen? He must have some who would speak this gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 24, we'll end the conference on this verse. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations. Then what? Then the end will come. Do you want the end to come? Do you want the Lord to return? In your lifetime, you could have a part in bringing the Lord back. Then you need to have these five words in your experience. Hear the kingdom. See the kingdom. Enter, live, and speak the kingdom. Okay, I hope those words would be helpful to you. Now, let's come to Roman number... Actually, the title of message 2. Yeah, and then we'll look at Roman number 1. All right, let's read the title together. The Divine Life and the Kingdom. Sisters. Brothers. The Divine Life and the Kingdom. I hope after this message, you would never separate these two things. Life and the Kingdom. And since we're talking about the Kingdom of God, it must be the Divine Life. Our brother shared with us last night, the first definition of a Kingdom is what? The totality of the divine life. The kingdom of God is the totality of the divine life. If you take all of the divine life, of course, is in God, in Christ, in the Spirit. But that divine life has now been dispensed into us. If you take all of the divine life and put it all together, that's the kingdom of God. It's life. It's a realm of life. So these two should never be separated. The kingdom is always a matter of life. I hope you can see this clearly this morning. Now, let's read Roman number 1 together. In the beginning of Genesis, we see God's intention for man to have his eternal life within him. Almost every conference, we like to remind you about Genesis 1:26. Because it's the beginning. Everything comes out of that verse of God's purpose. In that verse, we see man created in God's image. And man giving God's dominion. Right? Image is for expression. That man would express God. How much is God expressed through you? Is God expressed through you when you're at home in your room? Or is God only expressed through you when you're in the meetings? God wants to be expressed through you all the time. That's His purpose. You're created in His image to express Him. You're also created by God and given His dominion to rule over all the negative things. This is the purpose of man. We see this in Genesis 1:26. And we see in a few verses after that, it's very interesting. In Genesis 1:28, the Lord said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." You know what I thought of when I read this morning? Kingdom. Doesn't that sound like a kingdom? God created man in His image, right? He gives him His authority, and then He says, fill the earth. So man is created according to God. What God is, man is created according to that. And he's told to fill the earth, to multiply. So what would the earth be filled with? Man, but man's in God's image. So the earth will be filled with God. The image of God would fill the earth. What does that sound like? The kingdom. From Genesis 1:26 and 28, God wanted a kingdom. Fill the earth. And then not just fill it, but subdue it. Why? Because there was a rebel on the earth. When Satan rebelled, he was cast to the earth. The earth is his realm. The place where he operates with the fallen angels that followed him. So the Lord creates man with what a high purpose we have. To express God in His image and to reign on the earth for God. To rule over all the negative things, right? To have dominion. This surely is the kingdom. But we could never do this unless we have the life of God. So after Genesis 1:26, we turn the page. We're in Genesis 2. We come to Genesis 2:9. Where does God put this man? In a garden. In front of the tree of life. The tree of life. Let's say tree of life. Tree of life. This is a picture of God as life to us. We have such a high purpose. But with the created life, we can never fulfill that purpose. We need the divine life to fulfill the divine purpose. So I love this statement, and I hope you would write it down. God's purpose can only be fulfilled by God's life. God's purpose can only be fulfilled by God's life. Man is created for God's purpose, but man must now receive God's life. In A, it says God's placing man in front of the tree of life indicates that God wants man to receive him as man's life by eating him. By eating him. I hope in this weekend you will have much eating. Not just of a double-double. Not just of whatever delicious meal we'll have for lunch. But eating of the tree of life. Eat the Word of God. Right? Eat it. Take it in. Pray over it. Enjoy it. Feed on it. Right? You need to eat to receive life. This is the way that you can live. In order for man to touch God's reign and bring God's authority to the earth, he must receive God's life inwardly. If man does not have God's life, he will have no way to bring in God's kingdom. How about let's read C together. It is necessary for us to grasp this point that if a man is to represent God and to exercise dominion on the earth, then man must possess God's life. Man cannot possibly bear so lofty a responsibility in the strength of his own natural life. Matthew 19:26. I didn't appreciate this verse so much as the last few weeks. You know what it says? It says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Do you like that verse? But you have to read that verse in the context of the kingdom. Read that in the context of fulfilling God's purpose. Right? Not just all things are possible so I can make $1 million. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's for the kingdom. Yeah. Didn't we repent? Yeah, we repented from our $1 million to the kingdom. I want the kingdom, but the kingdom's impossible. When we come to some of the verses in Matthew 5, it's impossible. It's humanly impossible. I hope you could see this. You know why? So that you could come back to the tree of life. Many of us, we get saved or we grow up in a Christian home and we desire to be good. We desire to fulfill God's purpose. Yes, I want to express God. I want to rule for God. But we try to carry that out in our natural life. And inevitably, what's the result? Failure. Failure. Right? When you fail to express God, right? Maybe in the brother's house, you were just there the other day and you went downstairs and you went to get a bowl for some cereal. There's no bowls in the cabinet. All the bowls were in the sink, meaning they're all dirty, meaning none of the brothers washed their bowls. Hey! Where are those brothers? Who didn't wash their bowl? Didn't we have a house meeting last week? We talked about this. What's your response? What's your expression when you don't find a clean bowl? Right? You just wanted to have a bowl of Frosted Flakes. But there's no bowl. What expression would you have? Right? That experience. Now, after you lose your temper, you get mad, you yell at the brothers, and you feel bad. Say, sorry, brothers, you know, I shouldn't have yelled, but could you please wash a bowl? Yeah. Then you end up washing the bowls, right? But that experience should show you something. Our natural life can never fulfill God's purpose. So that experience, on one hand, you may feel defeated. You feel like a failure. Oh, I moved into the brother's house. We have a verse on the wall that says, love one another. I just failed. Maybe I should move out. No, don't move out. Don't move out. That experience just showed you that you were short of God's life. So our failures help us, remind us to come to the tree of life. Before you would have come down for breakfast, you know what? If you would have just taken a few minutes in your room to read a verse, yeah, to sing a hymn, to touch the Lord, things might have been different. Yeah. Because when you receive that life, the Lord's life, then it has a different expression. Yeah. If you enjoy the Lord in the morning, wow, when you see the bowls, you will have a different response. Yeah, different response. We'll still need to talk to the brothers, right? I mean, you know, it's not that we shouldn't clean our bowls, but there's grace there. There's love there. There's mercy for the brothers, right? Why? Because remember last week when you left your bowl there? Yeah, right? Yeah. Somebody washed it for you. Yeah. Remember when you were growing up for 18 years? And your mom did so much for you. Yeah. Now you move away. No mom. Oh, wow, you didn't realize how much your mom did until you moved into corporate living. You should thank your mom. You should write your mom a thank you note. Yeah. Thank you, mom. Wow. This is the kingdom life. The kingdom life requires the divine life. In order to live this kingdom, we have to have the divine life. And we should remember this when we come to other brothers and sisters. Right? You come to a brother or a sister. Hey, what's wrong with you? Man, you're not going to the meetings. You're not expressing God. Why? They need life. Right? Rather than condemnation, they just need some life. Hey, brother, I haven't seen you in the meeting. You know what? I've just been enjoying this verse. Why don't we read this together? Do you see? This is the way to help one another. Yeah. Is just to feed each other life. Because if you feed life to each other, that life will cause an expression. That life will help them to rule over the negative things. Oh, brother, you know what? Man, you just spend hours and hours on that video game. Man, brother, you shouldn't do that. Didn't you hear the word of the kingdom? And you repent for the kingdom. But if you would come to that brother who spends hours on the video game, say, brother, you know what? The Lord just touched me. Maybe we could just read a chapter a week together. You just have a sense. The Lord's touching you to just shepherd this brother. Yeah. You could speak a word of righteousness, or you could come to Him in a way of life and grace. Brother, let's just read a chapter together. And over time, right? This brother just starting to feed on the Word, right? Then the hours of video games start to decrease. It doesn't happen right away. But little by little, the Lord grows in the brother, right? This is the way of life. This is the way the Lord takes to bring in His kingdom. Now, Roman numeral 2. How about let's read together. The kingdom of God as the reign of God is a realm not only of the divine dominion, but also of the divine species. Wow. This is an amazing word. In John 3, a very good man came to the Lord named Nicodemus. Yeah. And he came to the Lord and he said, oh, teacher, he says, we know that you're come from God. No one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. He came to the Lord looking for some teaching, trying to improve himself. Have you ever come to the Lord trying to improve yourself? Lord, ever prayed that way? Lord, just, Lord, make me better, Lord. Lord, I don't want to lose my temper at the brothers for dirty bowls. That could be one response you have. Yes, you pray that you would somehow be better. But the Lord told Nicodemus, no, Nicodemus, it's not another teaching. You don't need more doctrines. You don't need to try to improve yourself. You know what He said to him? Verse 7. You must be born anew. You must be born anew. Do you want to be in the kingdom of God? You must be born anew. No good man can enter into the kingdom of God. Only a God-man. Only a man who is born of God, who has the life of God, can be in the kingdom of God. It makes so much sense. When a little puppy is born into the dog kingdom, the animal kingdom, right? Because it has the puppy life, the dog life. And plants all around us, right? We see plants everywhere. The plant kingdom. How did they get into the plant kingdom? They didn't try to improve. They didn't sign a membership to be part of the plant kingdom. They have the life of a plant. Life determines kingdom. Whatever life you have, that's the kingdom you're in. We're all in the human kingdom by birth because of the human life. But there's a wonderful transfer that we can all have, and that is regeneration. Regeneration. I believe many, if not all of you, have been regenerated. But I hope you could see regeneration freshly this morning. What a miracle. If you consider miracles, oh, if I could do this, if I could be healed, if I could heal someone, if I could speak in tongues, if I could do so many things. The greatest miracle, dear saints, is to be born of God. The greatest marvel is that a human being could be born of God, could have the divine life. This is regeneration. And this is our entrance into the kingdom. Don't try to improve yourself. That doesn't get you in the kingdom. I don't even know what the scores are nowadays. In the old days, it was what, 1600 was the top SAT? 1600 doesn't get you in the kingdom. Yeah. 4.0 doesn't get you in the kingdom. High school seniors with those AP classes, 4.4 doesn't get you in the kingdom. The life of God gets you in the kingdom. This is the only way. You must be born anew. In John 3, the kingdom of God refers more to the species of God than to the reign of God. So it's the realm where there's these species, where there's those who are born of God, that's the kingdom of God. To be the species of God means to have the life of God. The life of God. Let's read B together. The unique way to enter into the kingdom of God is to receive God as life and gain God Himself through regeneration, which is to be born of God, to have the divine life and nature. This is the unique way to enter into the kingdom of God. In these verses, the Lord told Nicodemus, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be born. You have to be regenerated. In John 1, it tells us how to be regenerated. It says that when we believe into the Lord, we receive Him, as many as believed Him. Right? The ones who received Him were the ones who believed Him. And these ones are born of God. Born of God. You know, young people, this is your real birthday. The birthday that will matter for eternity is when you were born of God. Now, some of you might say, well, you know what? I was born in a Christian family. I've been Christian since I was a baby. You may have that thought. But here in the Word, it shows us that there should be a definite experience that we have of believing in the Lord, of receiving the Lord. If you haven't had that experience, you can have it very simply. You just pray, Lord, Lord, I repent for the kingdom. Lord, I believe in You. Lord, I receive You. Lord, come into my spirit right now. A simple prayer, and you're regenerated. But just being born in a Christian family, you were born in the human life, but you may not have been born in the divine life. Regeneration requires us to believe in the Lord, to receive the Lord. There needs to be a transaction with the Lord. And in John 3:6, it says that when we believe in the Lord, what happens? Our spirit is born of the Spirit. So your spirit, you sense there's something living in your spirit. Yeah. The divine life with the Spirit of God enters into your spirit, regenerates your spirit. And now in your being, there's something living. Every human being on the earth that is not regenerated is dead before God. Ephesians 2:1. You once were dead in your offenses and sins. You say, oh, look, they're so alive. Look, they're partying. Look, they're having fun. They're going to the basketball game. But actually, in God's eyes, all fallen men are dead. Only when we believe in the Lord, receive the Lord, call on the name of the Lord, are we regenerated and we have the life of God. This is a wonder. This is a miracle. But this is our experience. This is how we enter into the kingdom. This is how we enter. Then, what happens? Not only are you regenerated, once we've been born of God, we have the reality of the divine life within us. We are being transformed and conformed to the Lord's image in our entire being. It is logical to say that all the children of God are in the divine realm of the divine species. You may not have heard this word ever before. Like, whoa, I'm not sure about this theology. If you're born of a man, you're a man. If you're born of God, you're God. Now, be careful, right? Not God in the Godhead, not God to be worshipped, but God in life, God in nature. And what happens in the Bible, it shows us we're transformed into the same image. Yeah, we're going to have the same image, fully expressing God as that life in our spirit spreads into our soul, spreads into our whole being. We're transformed. in Romans 8, we're conformed to the image of Christ. And then in 1 John, it says that we will be like Him. We will be like Him because we will see Him even as He is. This is our destiny. That life in our spirit will spread through our whole being, so we will become just like God, again, in life and in nature. Not in the Godhead, not to be worshipped, but to be the same as He is. This is amazing. We never thought our salvation was so wonderful, that God could save us to such an extent that we would be the same as He is. But this is the kingdom of God. It's the realm of the divine species. Now, in D it says, because we are the Father's children, having the Father's divine life and divine nature, we can be perfect as our Father is and have the highest living of the kingdom of the heavens. I don't know if you ever realized this, that you could be perfect as the Heavenly Father is. Let me use my brother. Can I use you as an example, brother? Just real quick. There's this verse in Matthew 5, right? Come up here, brother. Yeah, join me. Matthew 5. In Matthew 5:48, it says this. You want to read it together? You, therefore, shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So here's my brother. And he just read this verse. All right. What did you do when you read this verse? Let me ask you a question. Do you take this verse as a demand? Yeah. Is this verse a demand or is this verse a supply? Think about it for a minute. When you read this verse, you shall be perfect, brother. You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Is that a demand or is that a supply? Yeah? You think so? Oh, demand and supply. What do you all think? It depends how you read it, right? If you emphasize the first part, right? We might emphasize the first part, especially when we're reading it to the other brothers in the brother's house. You shall be perfect. You shall wash all the bowls. And we forget the last part. Yeah, we just emphasize the first part. When you read that part, oh boy, perfect. I don't think I can do it. How do you feel, brother? No. But then, you know what? We have to finish the verse. Don't just read the first part. It says, as your heavenly Father. What does that mean? Father means life. We have life. We have a Father. As our Father is perfect. You know what He did when we got regenerated? He gave us His perfect life. Brother, you have a perfect life in you. So you can be perfect. So you take this verse as a promise, as a bequest. Yeah, this is a will. We're giving, this is a blank check. Brother, you will be perfect. Because you have a Father, a Heavenly Father, and He's perfect. And His life is in you. Oh, isn't that a good verse? Thank you, brother. I needed you for that verse. Dear young people, have you seen this? This is the way. To have the kingdom life, you have to have the Father's life. You have to have the life of God. And I'd just like to read you a few verses that come before this verse. Just to help you realize how wonderful this life is. You know, in Matthew 5:20, the Lord told the disciples, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom. Meaning the kingdom, the standard of the kingdom is very high. We read already, it's impossible with man. Yeah, but I just like to read you some verses so that you can really see that this is impossible. We have to have a righteousness that surpasses the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they were the best. They were the ones that read the law, wrote the law, spoke the law. They did everything by the law. Yeah, everything by the books. Never did anything wrong. And the Lord says, your righteousness has to be surpassing them in order to enter the kingdom. You say, oh man, I'm done. Right, brothers? Yeah, I mean, how can we live a life of surpassing righteousness? And then the Lord begins to share with the disciples these things. You have heard it was said to the ancients, the Old Testament, you shall not murder. Whoever murders shall be liable to the judgment. You read that, right? Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. Oh, I haven't murdered. Right? All the young people here, I haven't murdered anybody. I'm good. Now, verse 22. But I say to you, that's what was in the Old Testament. That was the old law. Now, there's something higher here. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother, you could put sister there too. Whoever is angry with his brother or sister shall be liable to the judgment. Now it's just not a matter of killing someone. It's a matter of anger, something inward. The Lord is touching our inward being. It's not just what you did outwardly, but even inwardly. You just get angry with your brother. You're liable to the judgment. And listen, whoever says to his brother, Raca, say, what's Raca? Stupid. Right? Shall be liable to the judgment of the Sanhedrin. Whoever says, Mora, fool, shall be liable to the Gehenna of fire. Yeah, very serious. So how about us? We read this. Have we ever lost our temper? Said stupid? Fool? Not have we. How many times? How many times? The Lord exposed me just this week. Yeah. Situation in my house. And that word came out. Oh, Lord. I had to repent. I had to repent for the kingdom. Yeah, because our temper, right? Our temper. Even you could be a really, oh, really dear, precious, tender sister. But you might still have a temper. Yeah. I live in a house with some dear, precious, tender little girls. Yeah. My wife and four others. But it's amazing. Yeah, I never knew this. Because I grew up in a house full of boys, so I knew we had tempers. But I found out girls also have tempers. Yeah, wow. And even the littlest one among them. Yeah, oh boy. She doesn't back down. She doesn't back down. Yeah. Even though they're twice her size. Boy, I've heard these words. Yeah, Raca. Mora, yeah. And that's not the name of my daughters, yeah. No. So, this touches us. This exposes us. Let me give you one other verse. This shines on us. Touches our inner being. You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. That's the Old Testament. Oh, I haven't done that. What do you mean, brother? I'm a good brother. I'm a good sister. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman in order to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In his heart. We all spend our time on the college campuses in Southern California. What do we see all around us? Right? The fallen human beings. The flesh. It's there. We have temper within. We have lust within. Who can overcome these things? Then the Lord, after these verses, you shall be perfect. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your life in me. Lord, I can't do it. Can you overcome your temper? Can you overcome the flesh, the lust? I can't do it. But the Father, He begot me. He's living in me. That life is in me. Oh, if I just take care of that life, feed that life, enjoy that life of the Father, I will have an expression of the Father. I will be perfect. And this is higher than the righteousness of the Pharisees. Their righteousness was just according to the law. And their righteousness was just natural, their natural life. But this righteousness that we're talking about, it's a higher standard and it's another nature. Because it's the life of God lived out. It's not the human life trying to be perfect. It's God's life. It's a higher nature that can fulfill a higher standard. Young people, this life is in you. This is the life that's in your spirit. Now, how can we take care of this life? How can we help this life to grow? We have to come to Roman numeral 3. So let's read together Roman numeral 3. The kingdom of God is not merely a material realm in which God rules over His people and exercises His authority. The kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus sown as a seed into the believers and developing into a realm over which God can rule in the divine life. I hope you would take this second half of Roman numeral 3, underline it, chew on it. Matter of fact, if you could memorize it, that would be very good. The kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus. Isn't that good? It's the Lord Jesus. That's what the kingdom of God is. But not just Himself, sown as a seed into the believers. That's us. And developing into a realm over which God can rule in the divine life. I hope you would keep that, post that, put it as at the end of your emails, something, yeah, just text it, tweet it. Oh, it's so good. You could just, it's just amazing. It's a person. Our brother shared with us last night, the kingdom of God is a person. It's a person sown as a seed into us and developing into a realm over which God can rule in the divine life. The Lord Jesus, in letter A, came to be the kingdom of God by sowing Himself as the seed of the kingdom into God's chosen people. These verses are very helpful to see this. Luke 17:21, the Lord said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is among you." Who was among them? The Lord was among them. And when the Lord was among them, He said, the kingdom of God is among you. So what's the kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the kingdom of God. But when He came to bring in the kingdom of God. And how did He do that? He sowed Himself into us. He sowed Himself into us. I just like to share with you this verse. This is amazing. In Mark 4. Actually, before I touch that verse, let me ask you one more question. If you were going to establish a kingdom, how would you do it? If you were going to establish a kingdom, you wanted to establish your kingdom. Yeah. In Orange County. I'll establish my kingdom. What was your name, brother? Kenny. The kingdom of Kenny. I want to establish the kingdom of Kenny. Yeah, from San Clemente to Anaheim. The whole area would be the kingdom of Kenny. How do you feel about that, Kenny? You never thought about it, huh? Yeah, wow. Maybe I could do it. No. When you study history, what do you see? You see powerful men with mighty armies, with military strategy, how to take over territories of land. You study Alexander the Great. Wow. His empire stretched so far. And he got it so fast. He didn't even have, you know, tanks and jets. Yeah, wow, how did he do it? The worldly way to get a kingdom is by force, right? A powerful person, armies, subduing people. any rebellion. Slay them, kill them, destroy them, annihilate them. That's the way the human beings establish their kingdoms. But I'd like you to be impressed this morning. You know how God establishes His kingdom? He sows seeds. Wow. If the kingdom's not a matter of life, now I see it. It is. It's a matter of life. Because the way He establishes it is by sowing seeds. And what are seeds? Containers of life. Oh, I had to bring one for you right here. I had to bring one, yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that little seed. I know you can barely see it. In the back row, you're like, is that really a seed? Yeah, it's a seed. Right? Seeds are tiny. They're small. They're containers of life. It has everything it needs in that seed. You know what kind of seed this is? This is my least favorite seed. Palm tree seed. In the front of my house, I have 3 palm trees. Yeah, 2 of them are about 40 to 50 feet tall. Another one's about 20, 30 feet. And, you know, there are these big, huge palm trees. And when the wind blows, they just sway with the wind. Yeah, really nice. They don't fall in my house. I really appreciate that. But you know what happens? Every fall, these palm trees, they get pods of seeds. Yeah, they grow thousands of seeds. And then the Santa Ana winds come. Yeah, right about October. Yeah. And they blow. And they blow. And they blow all the seeds into my garden. Onto my grass. Matter of fact, they hit my roof when I'm sleeping at night and it blows hard. I hear, yeah, all the seeds. And I just groan because all those seeds are getting into my grass. I have grass. I don't want a kingdom of palm trees. But that's what's happening. Oh, this palm tree is so prodigious, prevailing, propagating. What a palm tree it is. Man, it's the kingdom of palm trees in my front yard. But I didn't want that. I have to go and I have to take out these palm trees. They grow up. It's just a seed. This is a palm tree seed. If you need any palm tree seeds, see me. I've got thousands in my house. And then they grow, they get in the grass. And then I cut the grass. And then they grow, and I see there's little palm trees growing in my grass. Hundreds of them. It would take me hours on my knees to get all of those palm trees out. I don't have time for that. Do you see? Do you see the way God took? God took this way, the way of sowing seeds. This is God's way, to sow the seed. Now, when He sowed the seed, He didn't just sow the seed into Kenny, say, here you go, Kenny, here's the seed. All right, I'll be back later. Hope that seed grows. When He sowed the seed, who is the seed? He is the seed. The sower is the seed. So when He sowed Himself, He sowed Himself into Kenny. Kenny, you didn't just get the seed, you got the sower. You got everything you need. This is how the Lord establishes His kingdom. In Mark 4, I love this. You know what it says? Mark 4, 3. Listen! Behold! What were the first two verses, words we said at the beginning? We need to hear. And we need to see. The Lord, He spoke that in Mark 4, 3. Listen. Listen. Hear the words of the kingdom. And behold, see it. Listen, behold. The sower went out to sow. The sower went out to sow. This is the way God establishes His kingdom. He sows the seed of life into all of our hearts. And you know what He wants of us? He asks us, would you join me? Why did the Lord send you to that college? You didn't want to go to that one. You applied to others, right? The Lord sent you there. Why? How come you didn't get accepted and you had to go to community college, like RCC? Wow, Lord Jesus, RCC. I wanted to go to a UC, not a CC, right? University of California, not a community college. Why did the Lord send you there? To sow the seeds. That's why you're there. He needs us, wherever you are. Why do you go to the Channel Islands? I met Travis yesterday. Awesome, brother. To sow the seeds. The Channel Islands need the seeds of the kingdom. And the Lord can't do it Himself. He needs many today that would be the sowers, just like Him, to sow the seeds. Okay, so in 26 of Mark 4, it says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man casts seed on the earth. The seed sprouts and lengthens. How, he does not know. It's really a mystery. The kingdom is really a mystery. You know why? Because it's a matter of life. All things of life are mysteries. Yeah. And since the kingdom's a matter of life, it's a mystery. We don't even know. How does it happen, Lord? How do you grow in us? It bears fruit, and eventually there's a harvest. So in these verses, I'd like you to see three words. Sowing, growing, and harvest. Sowing, growing, and harvest. This is how the kingdom comes. Number one, it comes by sowing. If there's no sowing, there's no seed. Then there can't be any growth. So there needs to be the sowing of the seed. And we can participate in that. Then there needs to be the growing. And that's the burden this morning. We need to let the Lord grow in our hearts. Do you allow the Lord to grow in you? You know what it means for something to grow? Is to spread. Yeah? Is to increase. Is to occupy more space. In the words of Ephesians 3, for Christ to make His home in your hearts. This is what it means for that seed to grow. How much home does the Lord have in you? Do you let Him into all the rooms? Or just keep Him there at the door, front door? Hey, Lord, good to see you again. Nice for you to come over and chat. Yeah, I got to go back to my work. Do you let Him in the living room? Do you let Him in the dining room? Do you let Him in your room? Do you let Him into all the parts? What about your mind, your thoughts, your considerations, your feelings? Do you let the Lord come in? Right? To your love, to your feelings towards others? What about the Lord coming into your will, to all your decisions? These are years, dear young people, when there's so many crucial decisions. Where to go, what to study, where to live, who will be my friends? I don't have to go to the young people's meeting. Will I go to a home meeting as a college student? I'm graduating. What will I do after I graduate? I've got these student loans. My friends are getting job offers. Wow, making a lot of money. That looks pretty attractive. Would you let the Lord into your will to help you with your decisions? Would you let Him decide? This is what it means for the seed to grow in us. And this is what the Lord needs. He needs some who would let Him grow. So we see in B, after the seed is sown into us, it will grow and develop within them into the kingdom of God. This indicates the establishing of the kingdom is absolutely a matter of the growth in life, not of our work. The kingdom does not come as a sudden change, but is a matter of Christ's life growing step by step and little by little within us. Now, where does this growth take place? Our human spirit is the place for the Lord to sow Himself into us. That's why you need to exercise your spirit, right? You're regenerated by exercising your spirit, calling on the Lord. You can receive the seed, right? You can receive the seed. This is where we receive the seed. But our heart is the place for Him to grow in us. Oh, dear young people, our heart is the ground for the kingdom seed. With the kingdom seed, there is no problem. There is no doubt that the kingdom seed will produce the kingdom. But with our heart, with the ground, there's a question of whether the Lord would have the way to grow in us sooner or later. We'll see tonight. The kingdom will come. The kingdom will prevail. Yeah. A few weeks ago, I was at Joshua Tree, climbing on some rocks with my family. It was a tree coming out of a rock. The seed will prevail, even if you've got rocks. But wouldn't it be better if, in our lifetime, if we let the Lord grow in us fully, so that we could be in the reality of the kingdom today, right? To bring in the manifestation of the kingdom. If not, if we don't allow Him to grow today, the Lord has His ways. The Lord has His ways to get that seed to grow. It will grow. But I just would encourage you, don't you want it to grow? Don't you want to give the Lord all the room in your heart that He could grow today, right? He could grow in our being. So this is what the Lord is asking for us. In three, how can we let this seed grow? By being poor in spirit and pure in heart. We can give the Lord the ground to grow within us. And this growth will be the real coming of the kingdom. Did you know that the growing of the kingdom is the coming of the kingdom? We thought that the kingdom is going to come outwardly. But you know what? Actually, according to the Bible, the kingdom will come from within us. As the seed grows in you, the kingdom is coming. You may be at a prayer meeting and say, Lord, Your kingdom come. Lord, Your kingdom come at UC Irvine. Lord, Your kingdom come at UC San Diego. Lord, UC Santa Barbara, Your kingdom come. And the Lord says, Amen. And we need to pray like that. But after the prayer meeting, the Lord may speak to you and say this, you want My kingdom to come? Let Me grow in your heart. Would you really, are you really serious about My kingdom coming? Give Me a little more room. How about that decision you have to make that I've touched you about, but you don't want to go along with Me? You want My kingdom to come? A good prayer, if you want His kingdom to come, is, Lord, grow in me. Lord, grow in me. This is the way the kingdom will come. Okay? Now, in number four, the good earth in Matthew 13:8 signifies the good heart that is not hardened by worldly traffic, that is without hidden sins, and that is without the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches. Such a heart is the good soil that grows Christ. The worldly traffic will make your heart hard. Anxieties, deceitfulness of riches will be like thorns. And hidden sins, personal desires, will be like rocks. All of these are different conditions of the human heart. And not of just the human heart, but of our heart. Our heart. We all have these things. So we have to open to the Lord that He could shine on us. Yeah. We come to the home meeting. We really enjoy it. We say, Lord, grow in me. But after the home meeting, where do we go? Right? What do we watch when we get home? We may be opening to the Lord, but there may be just a lot of worldly traffic. We just let things run over our heart. In the meetings, our heart is so soft and tender to the Lord. But then after watching that movie and listening to that music and playing those games, your heart is just hardened, right? The next day you see the brothers and you don't want the brothers to see you. In the meeting, you were giving each other hugs. What changed? Worldly traffic hardens our heart towards the Lord and towards one another. So take care of the worldly traffic. Take care of any rocks. The Lord will shine on you. Any hidden sins. The Lord sees all. The Lord knows all. When the doors close, when everyone else is gone, He knows. He knows what we've seen, what we've looked at, what websites we've gone to. We need to confess, right? Just empty out any hidden sins, any anxieties. Yeah, all of these things. That our heart could be the good earth. Don't you want your heart to be the good earth? It can be the good earth. If we deal with these things, our heart will be the good earth. And the seed will grow quickly, right? In our lifetime, in our college years, there could be much growth and development of the kingdom with you. You don't have to wait till you're in the full-time training for the seed to grow. It can grow now. And then it can continue to grow in the full-time training. Yes, this is possible. In 5, we should be diligent to pursue the growth and development of the divine life within us until we are richly and bountifully supplied entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we come to the last point. I just have a few minutes. The burden is on the growth. The burden is on the growth. I hope you would get this. From message 1, repent for the kingdom. Message 1, repent for the kingdom. Message 2, grow for the kingdom. Grow for the kingdom. If you care about the kingdom of God, if you want it to come, grow. Grow. Let the Lord grow in you. Let Him spread in you. Let Him gain you. Love Him. Enjoy Him. Spend time with Him. Now, finally, we have received the divine life of the kingdom. We must see that we are kings in the divine life to reign in life. Not only are we regenerated, we have God's life. This life is growing in us. But God wants to save us to such an extent that we could reign in life. We could reign in life. And this is mainly to reign over all the negative things. All right? It's not to reign over one another. Okay, brothers, you guys didn't clean the bowls and the sink. Now I'm going to reign over you. Yeah, that's not the reigning in life we're talking about. Yeah. This is to reign over negative things. So when we were saved, we were put into the position of a king to reign in life. To reign in life is to reign over things such as the sin, the world, Satan, the natural man, the self, and individualism, and to live a life of the highest virtues. All of these negative things are what came into man through the fall. When sin entered into man, man's body became the flesh. Man's soul became the self. Man lives a life independent of God, individualistic, in the world, just for ourselves. This is the life that we have, the fallen life we have. So the life of God in us can reign over these things. Remember earlier we talked about temper. We talked about lust. The life of God can reign over those things. You try to overcome them by yourself, you'll find out you're powerless. Powerless. But you enjoy the Lord in your spirit. You pray, Lord, grow in me. And all of a sudden, there's a life that wells up in you and is reigning over the negative things. How can you reign in life and see? You just need to receive the abundance of grace through Christ and receive the abundance of the gift of righteousness. So I encourage you, when you have time, enjoy Romans 5:17. Enjoy this verse. Pray over it. Pray over it. Feed on it. We can reign in life by the abundance of grace, not by the abundance of our natural strength, but the abundance of grace. God Himself coming to us to do everything for us, to be our supply. This is grace. Then, eventually, to reign in life in practice means to be under the ruling of the divine life, to be obedient and submissive to the Lord. When He sets up His throne in us, His life will flow into us, become our inner supply. When we are under His ruling throne, His life can be manifested through us in power. So I end with two examples for you. To reign in life is to be under the ruling of the divine life. His life is in us. He wants to reign in us. He wants to rule in us. When He rules in us, then we reign in life. Perhaps you're going to Carl's Jr., looking at the menu, and maybe you're an older brother, getting to be middle age, and as you look at your options, you think back to the good days when you used to get the Western bacon cheeseburger, and your mouth starts to salivate a little bit. But then there's just something within you that says, you know, you want to live for the kingdom, right? How about that turkey burger? Yeah. And you just say, amen, Lord. The turkey burger. This is my experience on Wednesday. Yeah. Little experiences, right? What choices would you make, right, to go along with just that feeling? You have just a little feeling within you, right? You can choose. You can have whatever you want. You have a credit card and you have a job and you can buy whatever you want. But there's a ruling. There's a ruling. When we're under the ruling, then we're reigning in life. Perhaps at your house, you see some dishes that need to be done or the floor. A few weeks ago, I just was going to go to class. And I just noticed that around the dining table was a little, you know, dirty. Why don't you just pick up the broom? Help out your wife a little. And just sweep up the dust. And just wash some dishes before you go. Yeah. Little things. It seems so insignificant. But these are little experiences of the kingdom. Yeah, the Lord ruling in us. And when the Lord's ruling in us, then we can reign in life. We can reign in life. Finally, one final experience. Maybe you don't see a brother or a sister in the meetings. You haven't seen them for a couple weeks. You just have a feeling inside. Why don't you just give them a call? Why don't you just see how they're doing? Yeah. If you don't do it, you're not wrong. You didn't sin, right? You didn't sin by not calling the brother or sister. But there's just a sense to care for that brother or sister that you haven't seen. You just call them up. Hey, brother, I missed you. Haven't seen you. You know, I was just enjoying this song. You share something with them, and they're just watered. Right? Little experiences of the kingdom. This is the Lord's reigning in us, that we could reign with Him. So, how about let's read the focus. All right? After we read the focus, I'd like us to sing hymn 4. Okay? So, read the focus together. We'll sing hymn 4. And when we finish singing hymn 4, just have a little prayer with your neighbor. And then we'll have time for you all to share anything from this morning or last night. And we encourage especially those that didn't come last night. It was very good. All the sharing last night was excellent. But if you didn't come last night, we encourage you to come this morning. So let's read the focus, sing hymn 4, pray, and speak for the kingdom. Amen.